John 5:25-30. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This is God's word. Let us once again come before him in prayer. Lord, as we come now to a time of hearing from your word, we do ask that you would speak to us. That, Lord, we would hear with ears open to the move of your spirit. May we listen to your voice, and may we grow in grace. Lord, please be with me as I preach. May I know the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit, and may I faithfully set forth God's word in truth. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. In recent decades, there has been a very strong push in our society for people to view themselves and to view others as being better than they actually are. And what I mean by that is this. We have been told repeatedly that we should have a high view of self. We should believe that all people at heart are naturally good and wonderful. I remember not so long ago seeing a news report about a man who murdered his whole family and then killed himself. And in the news report, the reporter went to one of the neighbours and he said, "Did you know the man? Tell me about him." And the neighbour said, "I am shocked. He was such a nice and good person. At heart, he was a really good man." Now, even though that man had just murdered people, the neighbour still had the mindset that at heart, the murderer must have been a good person. Now, this understanding, this view, is the mindset that our society has today. There is this understanding in our culture that says that every single person is born morally good. We are naturally good people. We are told that we have a pure heart which is full of good intentions, but the problem is outside influences such as our culture, our job, and even our family can sometimes cover up that goodness. So we end up doing bad things. Now, to overcome these negative influences that stop us from reaching our full potential, the world and sadly some churches have told people that what they need to do is find good self-esteem. They need to pump themselves up. They need to remind themselves of just how good they really are. They are to say to themselves, "You are beautiful. You are special. You are good, you have a good heart, and you are worthy." If you don't believe that is what people are told today, just simply watch the false teacher, Joel Osteen. And you'll see that he preaches that to the largest church in America. The problem is, such teaching, such understanding of humanity goes completely against what the Word of God actually says. As when we look at the Bible, we do not see that humanity is made up of people who are good. We do not see the Bible declaring that all of society are morally good people who just need a self-esteem boost. Rather, what we see is the Bible describes us in very negative terms. The Bible describes humanity as being sinful, as being wicked, as being full of iniquity, as people who are totally depraved, as people who have no good dwelling within us. That is how the Bible describes us, but that is different to what the world says. William Golding, who is actually from here in Newquay, he was born just up there on Mount Wise Road, captured what the human nature really is like in his book, The Lord of the Flies. In that fictional tale, he tells the account of how people tend towards evil and how people tend towards savagery. That left alone, people will act upon their nature, which is exactly the biblical picture. Our nature is sinful, so we tend towards evil. We tend towards savagery. And as we come to our text tonight, as we come to John chapter 5, we see that the Lord Jesus speaks of our natural condition. But he doesn't just speak of our problems. He doesn't just speak of our sin. But we see that Christ in this passage also offers the solution to our sinful nature. But not only do we see the problem, not only do we see the solution, but we see Christ also issues a warning. And he says, if we continue in our course of rebellion, then one day we will be judged by God. Now keep in mind as we come to this text, what we are looking at here is actually a dialogue between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. We are in the middle of Christ speaking to the Jewish authorities. Now the Jewish authorities were showing that they were depraved at heart. They were showing that they were hateful people because they opposed Christ, they hated Jesus, and they were demanding his death. Yet despite that, Christ has shown kindness. Christ has shown grace even to these religious leaders, because in verse 24, we saw that Christ actually showed them how they could be forgiven. Christ stressed to the listeners at that time that if they want to be saved, then they need to hear the voice of Christ and they need to believe what he says. And it's this theme of hearing and responding that continues in our passage this evening. Christ describes the state of humanity, he describes how the state of humanity can change, and then he talks about the future of humanity. And I want us to begin this evening by focusing in on verse 25 to 27 and the subject of spiritual death. Spiritual death, verse 25 to 27. The Lord Jesus speaking here has just stressed to his listeners that if people want to be rescued, if people want to pass from death to life, then they need to hear the voice of Christ. And then in verse 25, Jesus issues a promise, a very clear promise. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Here is a promise from the God who cannot lie. He says two different events are occurring. He says there's two different time frames when an event is going to occur. He says there is the now is, and also the hour is coming. Christ gives two different time frame indicators in this verse to speak of a grand truth of salvation. You see, what Christ is saying to these religious leaders is that at that present time, at that moment, in their day, in the first century, at that time he is speaking, there were people who were actually hearing his voice and believing in him. The hour now is. Jesus is saying at that present time, at that moment when the religious leaders are trying to silence him, at that point of history, the hour that now is, there were people hearing what Jesus said. And there were people who were passing from death to life. You see, the ministry of the Lord Jesus is a ministry of salvation. The Apostle Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that here is a saying worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. The ministry of Christ is a ministry of salvation. And by the time we get to John chapter 5, we see that the ministry of saving people is in full swing. The hour that now is, that time when Christ was here on earth, there were people who were genuinely converted. People were hearing what Christ was saying, and they were believing in Christ as the Messiah. If we think back to John chapter 3, we see that a Pharisee came to Jesus secretly by night, a man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus and he asked Jesus lots of questions. And we get told later on in John's Gospel that Nicodemus was converted. He heard and he believed. Then we go to John chapter 4. And we see that Christ encounters a woman at the well of Samaria, a woman who was despised, a woman who was hated by her society, yet she encounters Jesus, she hears his word, and she believes. Then we are told in John chapter 4 that the whole town where that woman was from came out to hear Jesus. And they heard his teaching, they heard his preaching, and they heard his voice, and they believed. The hour now is what Christ is stressing. He is stressing to the religious leaders, you are trying to silence me, you are trying to stop me, you're trying to stop my voice, but the truth of the matter is this, there are people right now who are hearing and believing. Christ is saying right now, in that time, there were people passing from death to life. This tells us that the ministry of Christ is active. He came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come just to be a good example, to be a moral guide, or to be a prophet or a good teacher. No, Christ came to save sinners. He came to rescue sinners, and he did not fail in his ministry. Christ came to save people in the hour that now is. And people were being saved. This is why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist understood that Jesus was going to be saving people. This is why the Lord Jesus, when he began his earthly ministry, commenced his preaching by saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." Christ is all about saving people, and he was saving people at that time. Jesus, from the beginning of his ministry, calls on sinners to turn from their sins and to trust in him. And as he issues that call, as he extends the hand of grace to sinners at that time, there were people who responded. There were people who believed. And that hour, even though it was a brief hour, Jesus says it now is. And people are being saved. So Christ says to the religious leader, the hour that now is. But this role, this ministry of saving that Jesus has was not just confined to the hour that now is. If the ministry of Jesus and his saving power was confined to the now is hour, then there would be no hope for anyone who lives post the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hour that now is finished. It's closed. It's over. It was a specific hour. A time of ministry of Christ here on the earth. But the work of salvation continues because Jesus then says, the hour is coming. The hour now is, and the hour is coming. Christ has two time references, both speaking of his salvation. You see, salvation was not just limited to those who lived back then, but it was open for all those who were still a long way off. It was open for all those down the corridors of time into history, to our day and into the future as long as the Lord will tarry. The hour is coming is saying that Christ's work of salvation is going to go on and on and on and on, and the people who are afar will hear and believe. We see this truth expanded upon in Acts chapter 2. When on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stands up to preach. Listen to what he says in verse 38 and 39 of Acts 2. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Notice the language used there. this promise. What's the promise? The promise of salvation. Peter says this promise is for you, it's for your children, and it's for all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. This is what Jesus is driving home at when he says the hour is coming. He's talking about salvation throughout history. He's talking about salvation into the future. He is saying to the religious leaders, yes, I'm saving people now and I'm calling to myself disciples now, the hour now is, but also I'm going to be doing that in the future. It's going to keep going. It's not going to have an end. I'm going to call people who are afar off to come and be my followers. Now this statement would have been radical and controversial for the Jewish religious leaders. Because in the rabbinical system, the system of rabbis, what would happen is this. You would have a rabbi who came along and he would have his disciples. And those disciples would listen to him and follow him for as long as that rabbi lives. But once that rabbi dies, the student would succeed the rabbi. And the disciples would then become disciples of the new rabbi. And over time, they would forget the rabbi that went before them, and they will start following the new teaching, the new rabbi. And then when he died, they would forget him, and they'd start following the next guy. They always operated in the hour that now is. But Jesus says, I'm not a teacher like that. I have my followers now in the hour that now is. There are people who will believe in me. There are people who will hear my word. There are people who are going to follow me. They will be saved. But also in the future, there's going to be more and more people hearing of me, and they will believe and they will follow me too. Jesus is saying to the rabbis, you are focused on now, but what you need to realize is that I'm going to keep going. The hour now is, and the hour is coming. And that's why we still have followers of Jesus to this day. People say, well, where are we today in the Bible prophecy? Where are we today in the grand scheme of Scripture? Well, I'll tell you where we are. We're in the hour that is coming. There's the safest way to answer where we are in biblical prophecy. Where are we? We're in the hour that is coming. And Jesus says in the hour that now is and the hour that is coming that people will hear and believe. But who are the people who are going to hear and believe? Jesus actually tells us who are going to hear and believe at that time and also in the future. He says those who hear and believe are those who are dead. Those who are dead. Now let me stress at this point, Jesus is not saying that those who are dead are physically dead. That's not what Jesus is saying. Do not get it into your mind that all those who are believers were at one point physical corpses just rotting away until Jesus comes along. That's not what Christ is saying. Believers were not physically dead, but we were spiritually dead. You see, when the Bible talks about death, it often does so in three ways. There is physical death. That is the death that we all face because we live in a fallen world. Then there is spiritual death. This is a death that we all are born with. We are all born spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1 tells us we are dead in sin and trespasses. We are dead spiritually. We are separated from God, the source of life. That's the second form of death. The third form of death the Bible speaks about is eternal death. That is death in hell for those who refuse to repent and trust in Christ. So you have physical death. We will all die physically. You have spiritual death. We are all dead spiritually apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born in that state. But then you have eternal death. Those who die without trusting in the Savior. Those who die and go to hell. And in verse 25 here, the Lord Jesus is speaking of spiritual death when he says, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now this statement by Jesus strikes at the very heart of the lie that our society tells. Our society says you're a good person, you're a wonderful person, you have great potential, you are brilliant, you are pure, you are marvelous, you are just a good person that needs to be reminded of your own self-esteem. This statement by Jesus hits at that heart because he says, I am going to be speaking to dead people, I'm going to be speaking to people who are spiritually dead. To be spiritually dead, as Christ describes here, means that you are not good. It is sin that brings death. For us to be spiritually dead is to say that we are sinful people. We are not moral people. We are not good people. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. When Jesus says the dead will hear his voice, he is speaking about those who are not good, not moral. He is speaking of those who have been slain spiritually by sin. The dead that he is referencing here in verse 25 are the people who are cut off from God. They are cut off from the source of life. We are distant from God. We are away from our Creator. And just like a physical corpse can do nothing to make itself alive, so it is with us. A physical corpse, when it is dead, can do nothing to make life come to it. All a physical corpse can do is decompose. And spiritually, that is what we are like. We're not good, we're not marvelous, we're not wonderful. We're dead in sin and we're decomposing further and further into sin. And Jesus says that's what we are like. We are spiritually dead. We are in the grave. We are slaves to sin. We cannot help but sin. We are like a dead body that just rots naturally. We rot into sin. We cannot stop it and we cannot overcome it. We are dead spiritually. And because of our spiritual deadness, you cannot save yourself. You cannot earn your way to heaven because you are spiritually dead. You cannot even respond to the gospel because you are spiritually dead. Imagine it like this. Imagine I invented a drink that is so good that if a dead person drinks it, then they will come back to life. Now, I think I could make a bit of money off this drink. So I decide to head down to the graveyard. I set up a table, I have a nice big banner up, and I have a sign saying, come and drink one glass of my liquid for 50 quid, and you will have life. How many dead bodies are going to open their coffins, dig their way out of the grave, and wander over to me, give me 50 quid, and drink? Not one. Not a single dead body is going to do that. Because dead bodies can do nothing but rot. Likewise, the person who is spiritually dead can do nothing to save themselves. They cannot do good deeds under salvation. They cannot seek God. They cannot repent. They cannot believe. They can do nothing unless someone enables them. Now back to the graveyard. Think about the drink. I'm in the graveyard. If I wanted the dead to live, what I needed to do was go to the grave, dig it up, open the coffin, grab the corpse, pour the drink down its throat, and then life would come. I had to go to them. It's the only way it would work. Likewise, this is what Jesus does. We are dead spiritually, so he comes to us. We are in the grave of this world, yet he comes to us. He takes a hold of us, and he gives life to a people who are spiritually dead. As our text says, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The mere fact that a dead person can hear is a miracle. Christ comes and he makes the spiritually dead hear. The person who then hears the voice of the Son of God believes and they live. They hear the good news. They hear that Jesus has tasted death before them. They hear that the sin that slayed them has been dealt with on the cross. They hear that the Son of God has died for them. They hear that the Son of God went into the grave and then rose again from the dead. They hear the Son of God declaring, "It is finished. I command you to repent and believe." They hear because he has given life, and those who hear will live. They will be saved. The only way for a spiritual dead person to be made alive is for Christ to come and rescue them. And Christ says that was happening in his day. In the hour that now is, there were dead people spiritually being made alive. And he says that's going to happen in the hour to come. Throughout history we've seen that. Jesus makes spiritually dead people alive. He takes wicked sinners and he transforms them. But we also see in the text that Christ promises judgment. He promises eternal death. And we see that in verse 28 to 29. Notice what Christ moves on to say as he speaks of eternal death. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Again, Jesus is talking about an hour, but this is a different hour. The hour that Jesus is speaking of here was future for his time, and it is future for our time. This hour is yet to happen. This is an hour when all those who are physically dead, all those who are physically in the grave, will hear the voice of Jesus. But this time, hearing the voice of Christ will result differently than what it did in the previous verses. In the previous verses, when those who were spiritually dead heard the voice of Christ, they were given spiritual life. But those described here in verse 28 and 29 are not just spiritually dead. The Bible is stressing here that they are physically dead. They are in the grave. They are physically deceased. And when they hear the voice of Christ, it will not be a voice of Christ unto life. It will not be a voice of Christ unto salvation. These described in verse 28 and 29, when they hear the voice of Christ, it will be the summons to come to judgment. It will be the day when both small and great are drawn out of their graves, when the sea gives up its dead, and we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is saying there's coming a day when every dead person will stand before God. But notice there is no offer of forgiveness of sins in this voice time. There's no offer of forgiveness of sins in this hour. Those who hear at this time don't get told they will have salvation. And that's because once you die, it's game over. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory. There's no options to try and earn your way to heaven post-mortem. There's no second chance. And Jesus says those who are in the grave who hear his voice will be raised either to resurrection of life, that is heaven, or resurrection of condemnation, that is hell. There is no changing of destinations after death. You see, the universal truth that Jesus is driving home here is this. One day, every single one of us will be physically dead. One day, we will all be in the grave. And one day, we will all stand before God. From the moment we are born, we begin the process of death. And one day every single one of us will go into the grave. I have often thought about the history of this chapel. And as I stand here and look around this building, I see a chapel that for two centuries has been used by God. For two centuries, people have gathered in this room, sitting where you currently sit. Their voices were heard in this chapel. The sounds of the hymns they sung echoed off these walls. Yet the vast majority of those who have ever gathered in this building over the past two centuries are now in the grave. Think about that. Where you sit, they sat. Where your hymns echo around this room, their hymns echoed around this room. They are in the grave. And one day, you will join them. We will all die one day. We will all be laid in the cold earth, waiting for the sure day of God's judgment. A day when the grave will hear, all those in the grave will hear the voice of Christ, summoning them to come before him. And it would do us well for us to consider this reality, to consider that our life is frail, to think upon eternity. Dr. Alan Cairns, who was a Free Presbyterian minister, once said that as he walked through a graveyard, he came to a headstone with a line of poetry written on it. He said, on the headstone it said, "Consider man as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Consider man, eternity." Being dead, that person still spoke. And we should hear that warning. Death and eternity are assured for us. And Jesus says on that final hour, on that final day, those who are physically dead, those who are in the grave, will hear his voice, and we will go to one of two locations. He says those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Heaven or hell. There's no other option. Now when you read here that Jesus says those who have done good will be resurrected to life, don't think that Jesus is speaking of good works. That's not what he's talking about. Rather what he is speaking of is the good response that we should give. The good response of repentance and faith. We know that's the case because back in verse 24, Jesus says, if you hear and believe, you will not come into judgment. That is the good Jesus speaks of. And he says, if you have given a good response, then you'll hear his voice one day. And you'll be raised from the grave to life everlasting. You'll be raised to the resurrection of life. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and rose again, those who turn from their sins and believe in him, they will be resurrected on that day to heaven for all eternity. But he also issues a warning. He says, those who are in the grave, who are dead physically and dead spiritually, those who refuse to hear his voice, those who continued in life in one of rebellion against God, those who throughout their life decomposed further and further into spiritual deadness, Jesus says they will hear his voice too. And they will be raised on that day, not to life, but to eternal death, to eternal condemnation in hell. Jesus says the person who hears and believes and trusts in him, who gives a good response, they will go to heaven. But those who do not repent, those who do not believe, will go to hell forever. And there they will be tormented night and day forever and ever. There will be no rest given to them. They will face the fierceness of God's wrath for all eternity. Jesus is painting a very confronting scene here for the religious leaders. He is confronting them because they have not heard his voice. And he says to them, that's your destination, hell. It's confronting. It's harsh. But it's true. And it's confronting for us also. But it's a truth that we must wrestle with. Because all of us are naturally, spiritually dead until Christ saves us. And when he comes to us, we must respond to him in repentance and faith, trusting that it's only through his death and resurrection that we can be saved. And if we do that, the Bible says you will have hope for all eternity. Even though you will die physically, he will call you to live eternally in heaven. But for those who do not hear, for those who do not repent, when they lie in the grave, there will be no rest in peace. For them, they'll be called away to judgment, called away to condemnation, called away to eternal death and damnation in hell. See, once we die, it's too late. But now is the hour of grace. Christ tonight would speak to you from his word. And he would call on you to hear him, to believe in him, to turn to him as the one who died and rose again. Tonight, would you hear and believe? Would you take hold of Jesus? Are you holding on to Jesus at this very hour? See, the believer can step into eternity. The believer can face death with confidence, knowing the Savior who has defeated death. We can go into the grave knowing that he will not leave us there, that he will call us and take us to be with him. And we can say the fear of death is removed from the Christian because our Savior defeated death. For the unbeliever has no such hope. The one who will not hear Christ fears death, and they should fear death, because when their eyes close, it's game over. There's no second chance. There's no do-over. You'll be called to judgment. So are you holding on to Christ tonight? Have you heard and believed? Hear again the promise of God's word. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Hear his voice tonight and believe in Christ alone. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you for the confronting truth of your word. Lord, may the reality of our own mortality make us uncomfortable. May we realize that we are here for such a short time, that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. May we realize that our life is here for such a short period, but eternity is forever. Lord, may you give us ears to hear tonight. May we hear your voice and believe. And may we have the hope and the confidence that when our eyes close in death, we will hear your voice calling us to the resurrection to life. Oh Lord, please comfort your people and save the lost. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.